Chapter 29. Gorley shivered. His dragon skin was thick, but the chill winds still bit. He covered his ears and puffed misty breath. The picturesque scene below him got old after the first few hours. Snow-capped mountains and lush valleys covered in shadows or golden sunlight. All of it became a blur. Now he lay down on his back, glancing up at the dragon's belly.
I guess they're living armor, those scales.
Thousands of hard scales covered every inch of the dragon, from gut to neck. Clean rows of bronze, shifting and rippling in rhythm to the dragon's mighty wings. The dragon flew effortlessly through the air, holding Gorley in the heavy cage like a fish in an eagle's talons. Gorley, always fascinated with dragons, fought the urge to reach up and touch its great claws, thick and heavy like wrought iron, with tips as sharp as razors. Gorley envisioned the dragon ripping rocks asunder.
Please don't try to talk to me.
It was a concern. Dragons could talk to dragons, sense things about one another that others could not. Dragonese was their language, and Gorley didn't know it. He recalled a few words Nath had said at best. He sat up and pulled his knees into the chest.
Wherever I'm going, what to do when I get there?
He sunk his head between his knees and tried to ignore the moaning in his stomach.
Cold and hungry is no way to live.
The dragon jerked the cage. Gorley bounced across the floor and into the bars. He caught the dragon gazing at him. A smile lifted over his oversized teeth. It shook the cage again. Gorley's head dashed across the bars. He rubbed the lump on his head.
Really? As if I'm not going to suffer when I get wherever I'm going.
The dragon turned away and spread its wings wide. A rush of wind caught Gorley. They were descending and fast. He pressed his face to the bars and held on. A series of tiny structures appeared below, the makeup of a town. Downward they drifted in a large winding circle. Gorley could see the square made up of farms and roads below. What he thought were small streams turned into rivers. Huts became villages, towns, and cities.
Is that what I think it is?
He saw the tops of large buildings now. They looked like toys beneath him.
No wonder dragons look down on us. They're used to being so far above us.
Gorley's heart raced. The once small buildings became massive. The containment of the cage and the freedom of the air gave him a false sense of security. But he now realized that peace was about to come to an end. The evil world was ready to greet him once again, and he had no idea what to expect. Suddenly, the dragon dipped, rattled the cage, and snorted. Gorley clutched at the bars.
Don't drop me now, you terror!
He heard a rumble in its great throat.
Maybe that's what a dragon laughing sounds like.
He turned his attention downward. In seconds, the city was much closer than it had first appeared.
Narnum?
Gorley didn't spend much time in the great cities. He preferred the isolation of the less traveled paths and places. But Narnum, the free city, was certainly unforgettable. Tall and magnificent towers jutted from the ground and reached for the clouds. The roads were wide and many. People moved like tiny ants below, working on more great structures, heavy stone and metal towers like he'd never seen before.
What is going on down there?
Slowly, the dragon spun in a tighter circle. Gorley picked up the outlines of more dragons roosted on rooftops like birds. Some looked right at him, and some did not bother, instead casting their eyes downward, warding the people below like hawks warded their prey. Gorley felt his chest crush. Freedom was gone from the free city. The dragon beat its mighty wings and set Gorley's cage down on a raised dais in the middle of the roof of the tallest building. Its great claws unclamped, and without a final glance, off it went, up into the sky, disappearing into the gray clouds. Gorley spun around in his cage. The rooftop was huge, big enough to hold hundreds of people, maybe over 1,000. There were benches, railings, and gardens, but no people, leaving him alone with a view of the world in all directions. He checked the rope on his wrists that coiled around his legs and neck. It was still snug, uncomfortable.
Gives me a reason not to talk anyway. But how will I ask for food?
Thunder rumbled overhead. The stiff winds whistled through his cage bars and the building parapets. Gorley focused on an entryway that was well concealed in the distance. He didn't notice any others.
One way up and one way down.
His eyes drifted to the outer wall.
Well, maybe two ways down.
He made his way over to the cage door and played with the lock. He picked at it with his claws. It had an intricate key slot on the heavy lock.
I fear this is beyond me.
The lock clattered against the bars and he backed off. He found it strange that Phelan had the key and she wasn't here.
There must be another that someone else has. The High Priestess, perhaps.
He tried to picture what that woman would be like. Would she be a large demonic hag? Or something else entirely? Minutes passed. Dark clouds drifted overhead. The heavy rain came with bitter wind.
Oh, great.
An agonizing hour passed with Gorley's thoughts racing every minute.
Perhaps they're onto me. Maybe they wait for me to change or try to escape. They're trying to starve me into extraordinary feebleness.
Thunder boomed. Lightning flashed. His innards groaned and jumbled.
Must it be so miserable?
He huddled and rested his back against a corner, closed his eyes, and shivered. Hours went by, one after the other. The pouring rain brought coldness, not comfort.